CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time to answer questions about the Bible. And so maybe you've got a question you'd like to ask us. Maybe somebody's asked you a question and you want to give them a good answer. Well, that's why we're here. That number to call, 888-ASK-CSN. And you can be part of the program today. Got some lines open right now, so you're assured to get on if you call right now. And joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker, Chosen Generation Morning Times here on CSN. We have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike. It's great to be on with you today. Looking forward to the great questions that always come in from all the listeners across the nation and really across the world as they would call in and ask their questions. And hopefully we'll have a great answer for them through the Word of God. You know, it's a joy in my heart to do this with you, Mike. It's just a real pleasure. We have like minds and we just work together, and it's great hearing from the people and what God's doing in and through their lives, how they want to grow in their faith and be used of the Lord. These are exciting times. I got a quick little story I'll share with everyone. I just, last night we had our midweek service, and a couple grabbed me, right there at the end of the service and said, "Hey, we listened to you on the radio." I said, "Oh, where do you listen?" In Kansas. So they flew out to Hawaii on a little vacation, and they wanted to visit with us. So they came out to our service from Waikiki. It's about a 30-minute run from Waikiki to where we're at. And it was just a real joy to be with them and to hear from them and pray with them. And as God's just working in and through their lives and how they enjoy To Every Man an Answer. And also the radio shows that are on CSN. Just a great job everybody's doing there at your team there, Mike. And it was a great blessing to hear from these folks and to see that they're so encouraged in the faith all the time. So let's all keep up the good work. Amen.
Amen. Being about our Father's business, so important in the days that we're in. Again, if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again is 888-ASK-CSN. And you can be part the program. I know you'll be blessed. And again, let's go ahead and go to the phones. I guess we can go to the phones. We have Denise on the line, Savannah, Georgia, I believe. Are you there, Denise?
Hi, yes. Thank you so much for your program. I listen to it every chance I get. But my question today is women pastors. I'm struggling with that. People that sit under a woman pastor, is that wrong? Would they be judged for that?
Well, I don't know if they'd be judged for it, but it's not what the Bible recommends. Paul said that he would not permit a woman to usurp the authority over a man when he's writing to a young minister named Timothy. And he lists some things there, and he said the reason why was not because of a cultural thing that, well, women in our society, no. It's that he goes clear back to that she was deceived by Satan in the garden. Now, Adam willfully ate of the tree, but she was deceived. And you don't find any women priests in the Old Testament. You don't find any women pastors in the New Testament. So I, based on biblical consistency, I would have to say that what Paul was writing to Timothy, that he would not permit a woman to usurp or really set the direction of the church, over a man. I believe that gives it great credibility. Your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, when we look to what Jesus did in the New Testament, he chose 12 men. One, of course, was a betrayer, and then another one replaced the betrayer. But again, it was a man. We also see in the pastoral epistles, which is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, that the requirements for the pastor was that he'd be a man and so forth. So there's no inkling at all that women are to be pastors in the church. Even when the disciples chose those to help out, the apostles chose those to help out in the church, They were all men. You had Stephen and Philip and others. They were all men that were chosen. So we see the pattern, as Mike said, biblical consistency. We see the pattern set forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We see it not only in the Gospels, but we see it in the book of Acts, as well as the epistles. When you meet that triune solidarity of context, now you have what's called sound biblical doctrine. So it's not to be happening in the church. Now, on the other side of the fence, we can say, well, women are used tremendously in the church. They're to teach other women. They're to teach children and so forth. They're to be missionaries. And God uses them tremendously in the church. And they do a wonderful work in God's kingdom. But what we have to realize when it comes to leading a church is to be led by a pastor who's a man. And that's, if we have sound doctrine in regards to that, and you can't fight against the Word of God. I didn't write it. Mike didn't write it. God wrote it. So we trust in what he's done. Our Lord did it. And it's in the book of Acts, the actions of the Holy Spirit on the early church. And then you have the instructions, how the church is to be run in what's called the epistles, from the book of Romans all the way through the book of, finally, the Apocalypse and Revelation. So it's God's book. It's his word. Let's be obedient to it. That's what I feel.
Mike? Yeah. God wrote it. We didn't. But people today ignore it. And I think whenever you ignore God's word, I think there's a price to pay. So I hope that answers it for you.
I have one other question. So those people that sitting under a female pastor will be judged, or do we need to move on and try to find a different church?
Okay, your thoughts.
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of being judged as a matter of being obedient. When you're obedient to the Lord and following what his scriptures say, the blessings of the Lord will flow. And that's, I think that's really important that you realize that. And so you want to just go or follow what God says. He says what he means. He means what he says. And you want to walk the talk and, you know, and so forth, walk the walk. And it's important. And I feel like, people need to hold the ground, what the Bible says, and follow it. And I know that God is going to be blessing you as you do. Mike?
Amen. And so, I believe the Bible is written not when God says to not do something. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He writes these things for reasons. Now, we may not always understand the reason, and of course, modern apostasy Christianity says, oh, we don't see any difference. Well, you're not God, and we didn't write it, and God says, be careful of this. Now, does that mean a woman cannot be very active in the church? Absolutely. Man, I think about all the women our church here, every church I've been in. I think it's great all the things that God has women doing in the church. But to be the senior pastor, you don't find it in the Old Testament as a priest. You don't find it in the New Testament, in the New Testament church. And I think it's wise to leave it there. Now, what are the consequences for doing that, as you ask? I don't know. But I know when God says something, he means it. And he's never trying to be mean to anybody, woman or a man, but that there's reasons why, that maybe we might not fully understand till we're in heaven. But Paul did list the reason that he would not allow it, and that was because it was Eve that was deceived, not the man. So if you're going to a church where a woman is the pastor, could this woman be deceived in something? Paul says it's possible, and that would cause the greatest concern. I hope that helps.
It does. And can I ask if you would pray for me, because I've been struggling with this. I enjoy the church. I feel like the word is coming forth, but I've just been struggling with the female pastor part. And I want to be obedient, and I've been praying that I could find a church.
Well, and you know, another question here, Daryl, for you. Being she's a woman going to where a woman is leading the study, your thoughts?
I think, women can teach women. But when it comes to the overall leadership of the church, it has to be, the Bible says, it has to be a man. And that's where all of our obedience needs to be. Now, it doesn't fit our culture. Our culture wants to do everything there is to rebel against God's word. But I know the Church of Philadelphia, which we want to be a part of. It's a church that keeps the word of God and will not deny his name. God will keep us from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. That is the great tribulation period. He's going to take us up in the rapture. So I just, not that say that there's a woman pastor, the whole church isn't going to go up in the rapture, but I'm just saying is it's important for us to keep the word of God for what it says in sound biblical doctrine. If you're in a particular church and it's not following sound biblical doctrine, in regards to leadership, I would say I wouldn't go there. That's me, because I follow the word of God. It's not a male chauvinistic issue. It's just, I follow the word of God. If I found it, where women were to be pastors and leading the church, then I would embrace it. But I cannot find it anywhere. And so, that's my personal feeling on it. And yeah, well, we will pray for you, Mike.
So I hope that answers it for you, dear. Now stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. And yes, can we pray for you?
Yes, please.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for Denise's heart to know your word. And Lord, I would just pray that you would guide her in this very, very important topic in her life. And Lord, that you would give her, God, the right things to say and do, and the right place for her to go to be with other believers that honor your word in its entirety. And so we just commit this to you. We ask you that you would just give her that peace that passes understanding. Don't let her be burdened down by this. But, Lord, guide her in your ways, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And, Denise, may you have a blessed Palm Sunday and Resurrection Amen. Sunday morning, Easter. And let us know how it comes out.
Appreciate everything that y'all do, and I pray that the Lord continue to bless you and this radio broadcast station, because I feel that you're blessing so many people.
God is good, dear, and yes, Denise, anything. And stay in line. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. Stay in line, dear. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Joshua, Clifton, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
How you doing? Glory to God. I gotta say that. It belongs all to him.
Amen. How can we help?
My question is, I just rededicated my life to the Lord here recently, and I'm wondering where is a good place to start studying and reading the Word so I can be obedient to Him.
Well, I always direct people to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, start in chapter 3 and just read. Because in the book of John, it says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And anybody that returns to the Lord, I think they really need to have that fortified in their life. So they really know that, in fact, that Jesus Christ is the author, finisher of their faith. So I would do that. And I always look at the way Jesus responded to criticism. I look at the way Jesus responded to skeptics and disbelievers. I look at oftentimes the way Jesus reacted to praise. So I think these are all really good things that help bring us to a balance. I think in the Old Testament, which is a really good place to read, of course, I believe Proverbs is a great place. Solomon writes this, and he's writing it to his kids, king's kids, and the way we should behave. And I think you can apply the book of Proverbs to our daily life as believers in Him, the way we should react, and the friends we pick and the places we go and all these different things, how to avoid arguments, all these things are all there in the book of Proverbs. So I think it's some real good general guidance in the Bible. Now, all the Bible is good to read. If you want to be encouraged, I tell people to go read the book of Philippians in the New Testament. But really, I believe it all goes back to Jesus Christ, the author, finisher of our faith. The more I know about Him, the more I'm going to know about the way I should be, because again, we're walking in His footsteps. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would suggest those same passages, Mike, same books of the Bible, John, the book of Proverbs, tremendous. 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month. You can just take one a day and go right through it. And great reminders. The Psalms are very encouraging and comforting and counseling. Another thing, I remember Pastor Chuck Smith years ago, he would say, A lot of times people get out of the Word of God. We've got to get them into the Word of God, but not just into it, but to begin to really look at it and learn it. And he would recommend many times 1 John. It's only 5 chapters long. And he would tell the people, he'd say, now I want you to go to 1 John, and I want you to find out 3 reasons why that little letter was written. There's 5 chapters, and there's 3 specific reasons. And you always want to give people a clue, right? And the clue would be, John will say, I write to you, or I have written to you. And they'll tell you the reason why he wrote, what he said, what he's saying in that book. And so it's kind of a find Waldo kind of a thing. And he go, I write to you, or I've written to you. And you can find these 3 specific reasons why he wrote that little 5-chapter letter to the churches and to our own hearts. So it's a fun little thing to do. And I know that you'll be blessed.
Amen. Mike? So I hope that answers it for you, Joshua.
Absolutely, and I'd like to say before I go that it's because of your guys' the satellite Christian Satellite Network and your guys' ministry that the Lord spoke through me through this, and I hope the Lord blesses you guys tremendously 100-fold. I hope He just keeps your ministry going because it's because of you and the preachers on this network that like I said, he spoke to me through them, and I know it had to be him.
Amen, and Joshua.
I thank all of you.
Well, thank the Lord that he allows Amen. Us to do this. And I just want to say especially thank you to all of you that are listening that support CSN and financially support us. Because testimonies like Joshua's that you just heard would not have been. And so we can do something together we could never do individually. Hey, there's no one flying Learjets here or driving around in big fancy luxury cars, nothing like that. We're just brothers and sisters in the Lord doing this job to reach out while we can because we know the days are short. And I really believe that. And Joshua, can we pray for you real quick?
Absolutely.
Father, thank you so much for Joshua. Thank you that he called today. Thank you that he's desiring your word. Father, I pray that when he reads, that your words come alive on the page. Your Holy Spirit that wrote these words, now the Holy Spirit that's in him, Lord, would cause your word to come alive in every aspect of his life. Protect him, give him wisdom and insight. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and guide him, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua, I'll send you some books, some DVDs, okay?
Hi, thank you.
Well, God bless you. If you need us, we're here for you. Just call us. And so good you called. Let's go to Josh in California. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Mike. Thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding Matthew 24, when Jesus, after he finishes rebuking the Pharisees in the previous chapter, 23, he says all of the blood of righteous Abel to all of the prophets will fall upon that generation, and then goes on to tell his disciples about how the temple will be torn down, yep. Not one stone left upon another. I see that as being fulfilled in 70 AD because he says this generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. So I guess how do you interpret that passage?
Well, Jerusalem be trodden down with the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled in Luke 21. So, of course, Jesus gave several different prophecies concerning Israel, Jerusalem, the wrath that would come upon them for rejecting their Messiah. But when Jesus said that Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, when he said that, it was under Roman control, then completely destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus, laid waste for millennia. But now today we see Jerusalem under Jewish control completely. They got half the city in 1967, the other half the city in 1948 when they became a nation. But now under Jewish control, just as Jesus said it would be. And then Jesus goes on and says, the generation that sees this will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. I believe we're there, and I believe the key of which is Jerusalem. You can't argue it. It's absolute. this is what is so crazy about the replacement theology people that say, oh, the church has replaced Israel. Everything God had to do with Israel ended in 70 AD. Man, I suggest you start reading the Bible again, because Jerusalem is under Jewish control. Oh, well, that's pure accident. Oh, really? After Jesus predicted it, when he said these things, it was under Roman control. And then a few years later, it was completely destroyed. Boy, what a ridiculous prophecy that was of Jesus, that Jerusalem would be under Jewish control again. Well, it is under Jewish control again, just as he said it would be. And he said, not you standing here will see this. The generation that sees this will not pass away till they're all fulfilled. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when you look at Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple, which took place in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus, as they invaded and over a million Jews were killed. And they were dispersed amongst the Roman Empire. From that point, they've been dispersed all this time, and then they fulfilled the parable of the fig tree there in Matthew 24. Jesus says, understand the parable of the fig tree. It's an emblem, a symbol of the nation of Israel. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 24, as well as, let me just double check here, it's Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. And they're referred to as a fig tree. And Jesus cursed the fig tree in the latter parts of his ministry before he went to the cross. He cursed it because they were not going to bear fruit to God. They were not going to bear fruit to the Holy Scriptures, which prophesied the Messiah, his time of his coming, and what he would do, which was Jesus. And thus he curses the fig tree. But then he says that fig tree will sprout forth once again. That'll take place in the latter days. He gave us a whole scenario, end time scenario, of what the world will be like from verses 4 all the way to his second coming, ending in verse 31. He talks about the wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilences and earthquakes in various places and so forth, and how they're going to increase like a woman going into birth pains. They become more intense and more frequent as we get closer and closer to his second coming. Then he talks about learning the book of Daniel from the abomination of desolation, which is speaking of the tribulation, great tribulation period. And then he talks about his second coming. And then he goes, what's the greatest sign of when you know all these things are going to be taking place? He says, learn the parable of the fig tree. And then he says that generation won't pass away. 1948, they became a nation. 1967, they got Jerusalem. So we're in that time era, that time frame of which the Lord can be coming very soon for the church, for the bride of Christ. Then begins the great tribulation period of 7 years of tribulation. Then the second coming of Jesus Christ. He also gives us some moral standards about what will the world be like right before his second coming. He says it'll be like the days of Noah. He says it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And boy, do we see that today. There's total rebellion against God, against the word of God, against even I was made as human beings and so forth now. And it's reaching its nth degree. And the world is ripening itself for the judgment and the wrath of God in the tribulation period. But he will not bring his wrath upon the bride of Christ, which is who we are. We are the church. We're the bride of Christ, saved by the blood, and he's going to take us up in the rapture, and then the 7 years of tribulation will take place. And you know, Jesus says, he says, watch and be ready. You know not when your house could be broken into, and then he does the parable of the 10 virgins and so forth. Then comes the rewards in heaven about the talents and so forth. So we see this progression in 24 and 25 in this Olivet Discourse about the end times and the last days. It's exciting. We're there. This is why we need to be soul winners more than ever. We need to be disciples more than ever. Everybody involved in the church, and we need to be going for God more than ever. So these are exciting days we're living in, Mike.
Amen. I hope that answers it for you.
Yeah. It gave me a lot to think about. If I could, just one quick follow-up on that. When you said this generation that sees these things, I don't see that in the verse when you say sees these things. Is that implied or being read into the verse, or where does that come from?
Well, he just says, you've got to realize when he said Jerusalem will be trodden down till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. He could not have been talking to that group of people. It was under Roman control. So looking at it in context, what the statements were in context, he could not have been talking to that generation standing in front of him. Because Jerusalem was under Roman control. That is why we know that he's not talking to that generation. It's impossible. Jerusalem was heavily influenced by the Romans. Even the crucifixion of Jesus, the Jews couldn't do what they wanted to. They had to go to the Roman government to get permission to crucify Jesus. Jerusalem was under Jewish control when Jesus was here on this earth. So when you look at it, again, he says, assuredly, and this is verse 32 of Luke 21, assuredly I say to you, this generation will no means pass away till all things are fulfilled. He cannot be talking about the group in front of him. Jerusalem was under Gentile control. But the generation that sees Jerusalem under Jewish control, that, I believe, is what he's talking about here. Otherwise, this none of this makes any sense. He has to be talking to a future group that will see the rebirth of the city of Jerusalem under Jewish control. Hope that helps.
Mike, if I could have one last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Conversation is in verse 14 of chapter 24, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The gospel has finally gone through the world. Everyone knows about Christmas. They know about Easter and so forth. They know about Christianity. It is gone. Then the end will come. That means we're right at the precipice of the rapture of the church and the great tribulation. And then when you read down there in verse 32, we got a break. We have to break. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to come up on that break. We want to keep everybody on the edge of their seat over the break. Because, Daryl, I know you got some great words when we come back. Yes, we are coming up on that break. We'll have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Are you ready to study to show yourself approved? A workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? In this sad, lonely, and lost generation, people need help. They need Jesus. And who can present the gospel better than you? Calvary Chapel University wants to be a helper of your joy, so you can go out and make disciples who make disciples. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and you'll earn outstanding scholarships. Most of our CCU graduates graduate early or on time, debt-free, and sound doctrinally. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today. Skip Heitzik is one of our faculty members, and David Guzik is not only a board member, but he just earned his Master of Divinity at CCU. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and watch God move powerfully in your life.
Welcome back to part two of Trevor Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Both Daryl and myself would love to see you in church this Palm Sunday as we look at the incredible predictions that Jesus would enter Palm Sunday on that day into the city of Jerusalem. Against incredible odds, the Bible predicts the day that he was to come in to the city of Jerusalem. So we're going to be talking about that. And Daryl, I imagine you will too. Here in Twin Falls, Idaho at the River Christian Fellowship starts at 10 o'clock. And if you're listening by radio anywhere in the world, it will be at 10:30 Mountain Time. And so we want to just encourage you to tune in and listen. Daryl, why don't you give everybody the address to your church so they'll know where to find you this Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday.
Yeah, we're right off of Cam Highway in central Oahu, right across the street from, what's the name of the park? I pulled it in a blank. They changed the name on me. What's their name? Well, anyway, it's Central Oahu Park is what it is. We're right across the street. They gave it a name after one of the politicians here. And we're right across the street. We're in the Waipio Shopping Center. Just go to our website, Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor. And by the way, this Palm Sunday, Mike, and everyone out there, it's going to be our 30th anniversary as a church, 30 years. So we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be serving lunch free to everybody that attends the services. We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have local type style plates and so forth, plate lunches. And we're going to celebrate. We've got bouncers for all the kids. We have a special message, including Palm Sunday, as well as we as a church for 30 years. And all glory, of course, as we all say, goes to our Lord Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father. We thank Him for all things, and we're going to have a beautiful time together. So anyway, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share that.
Amen.
Let me get back to Josh real quick, and I just want to conclude our conversation in regards to Matthew 24 and Jerusalem and so forth, the Jews becoming a nation once again. In Matthew 24, verse 32, it says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." We already talked about the fig tree representing the nation of Israel. They're dispersed in 70 AD across the world, the Roman Empire. Now they've come back May 14th, 1948. They became a nation after the horrible Holocaust of World War II through Nazi Germany. They're a nation. Through the Six-Day War, they get Jerusalem in 1967. So the question is, how long is a generation? Is it 40 years? Is it 70 years? I've heard one Bible teacher say, well, it could be 120, like the times of Noah. Well, that's a little bit long, I think. But I think we're pretty close to around the 70 years or so forth. But we can't be specific date setters because Jesus doesn't want us to do that. He says, no man knows the day or the hour. But we can see by the signs of the times that we recognize it is time for the Lord to come back for us. Israel's become a nation fulfilling Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, where those dry bones in the valley attach themselves together, then muscle and sinew come upon the bones, and then flesh upon the bones, and they become alive once again. That is truly the nation of Israel in these last days. And Ezekiel says it'll all happen in the last days. So we're there. This is the generation. And the Lord is going to deal heavily with the children of Israel in the tribulation period as he anoints and seals 144,000 Jews to preach the gospel. They'll be preaching Jesus HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and so forth. And many Jews are going to get saved. Many Gentiles will be saved in the tribulation period, but most will follow the Antichrist as their false savior and Messiah. So this is the end time scenario. The Lord will come back at the end of the 7 years tribulation. That's Revelation 6 to 19. And as he returns, he'll set up his millennial kingdom on earth. And we will return with him after the 7 years we've been up there in heaven. And he'll set up for 1,000 years. Then after that, we head up to the new heavens and new earth and the new Jerusalem where righteousness dwells forever. And we're always glorified as we've gone to heaven. So we have so much to look forward to. It's going to be awesome. Mike?
Amen. And so I hope that answers it for you, Josh.
Yeah, thank you very much. You've given me a lot to think about.
Wonderful. That's great news. Well, again, and just for a second here, let's just take the Bible out of the whole picture. Now, on to Every Man Answer, that would be the end of our show. But just take it out for just a second. Just take it out for just 1 second here. You have North Korea threatening World War III on South Korea today. You have Russia promising World War III against the West today. You have, it's almost daily these dictators are doing this. Globally, you have China wanting to take Taiwan. They've said they're going to. What point do you realize with nuclear weapons, whether a bomb is made in China or in Russia or in the United States or in North Korea, it isn't going to wreck your day. And depending where these bombs go off and the nuclear radiation that goes into the ocean and other places around the world, the farm ground and all these things, like what happened to Russia at Chernobyl, where it destroyed their San Joaquin Valley, where all their food was grown. You take, just take the Bible out. How long do you think everything's going to go on just the way it is? It isn't. Because there's not ever been a weapon that man's invented that he has not used. North Korea is the 30th poorest country on earth. They're going to die of starvation. I saw pictures where it's just abject poverty. So give us what you got or we'll blow you up. Well, the nuclear fallout's going to affect the world. Then you have China and Taiwan and maybe an engagement with the United States or Japan as well. You realize that they're on the move. There's almost a daily skirmish right now between China and the Philippines. So we realize we are on the brink of global war right now. Again, set the Bible aside. Use some common sense. Now, again, I've shared this many times. The school systems in America changed the way they taught students from the way it was 35 years before. 35 years before, you were taught how to think. You would look at rational deductions and you would come to conclusions. That's not the way they teach now. Now you're taught what to think, not how to think. How to think, deductions. This is why evolution never gained a lot of traction. Because you'd think, well, if evolution is true, then there must be transitional life forms living and fossilized by the billions. There aren't any living or fossilized. So you would think, well, that's an interesting theory, but if I really think, it can't be true, because even Darwin himself said the problem with his theories are there's no intermediate transitional life forms, living or fossilized. So there's a problem. Now, again, when you talk about, oh, global warming, we're all going to die, global warming. Do you know, when I was in the seventh grade, I listened to a very liberal teacher that I had talk about carbon tax credits and how they were going to push this on the world and how it was going to redistribute global wealth to countries like, you know, the African countries or some of the other ones around the world, because we're polluting global air. And so they have a right to get free money from the producing nations because we're using their air. Now, I remember him distinctly saying, we don't know how we're going to get this pushed upon the world, but we're going to come up with something. Wow. Global warming comes along. And then they found out that really it wasn't global warming at all. In fact, many places it's global cooling. Then they change it to climate change. Yeah, it's climate change. Yeah, that's what it is. Then they realize, and again, how to think versus what to think. How to think, wow, a volcano puts out more sulfur dioxide in one eruption than human beings do for decades. More carbon dioxide in one volcano than the average human beings do in years. And they're going off all over the world. Oh, we don't talk about that. Don't bring that up in schools, because then they'll be able to figure out that what we're telling everybody is a big scam. One of the top leading NASA scientists, his name is Larson, wrote a book called Dark Winter. You can check it out. This is real science, not this phony baloney junk that we hear crammed down all of our throats. And that's all it is. It's globalization, everybody. Climate change has nothing to do with it. It's globalization. Remember that. And when you look at this, what really goes on in the world, this is what's being pushed upon our world. We must unite together. The idea of John Lennon's song, "Then the World Will Be as One." We're on the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Oh, yeah, baby, the whole world sharing one another. The Bible says it's going to be hell on earth. And unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. Now, this doesn't take years, decades. No, within 7 years, man has managed to wipe out just about 2/3 of the world's population. And it gets worse as it goes on longer and longer. That's why Jesus said to the churches, be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come upon the earth. You see, everybody's being sold a false bill of goods. Look at the news. You never see one good thing about Trump. And Biden, who's a known thief, the Biden crime family, I watched a video the other night on all the stuff these guys have been up to. If it was anybody else, you'd be in prison for the rest of your life. Joe Biden declared he's mentally incompetent to stand trial for taking the documents. And yet he's competent enough to still be president and run for re-election? Come on now, Banana Republic. How stupid do you think all of America really is? But see, this is what they do. And they make up stories. Oh, if Trump doesn't get reelected, there's going to be a bloodbath. He said there's going to be a bloodbath. He was talking about the tariffs put on cars made by China in Mexico to be brought into America to undermine our car companies. That's what he was talking about. If you listen to the speech, it's very clear. But every single rotten American news media twists what he said. But Biden, on the other hand, he can say every kind of lie in almost every speech, having diseases he never had, being in places he's never been, being a professor in colleges he never was, and not one word of flyback from the American news media. Friends, they are rotten. And we're all being sold a cheap bill of goods, whether it be climate change, whether it be the one world order, and then turning American sovereignty over to the United Nations. Oh, friends, we got to be careful. We have literally 10 or more million illegal people that broke into our country since Biden took office. An Obama-appointed judge in Chicago this week said these illegal people have a right under the Constitution to have arms, the Second Amendment. No, they don't. They're in our country illegally. And isn't it weird that they don't want American citizens to have guns, but you can be an illegal alien and have guns in your country? Yeah, this is the Democrats right now, everybody. Don't be ripped off by them. I'm not saying the Republicans are great. There's flaky Republicans all the time. What I'm saying is this, that we're, oh, yesterday's story. Again, a judge ruled, excuse me, 151 members of the House of Representatives, Democrats, want all veterans that served in the United States military to not be able to have arms, to have guns. 151 Democrats, they want the weapons taken away from ex-U.S. Military people that serve their country. Why is that? Are they up to something more than we think? I think so, most likely. Just the thought. Every once in a while, I like to keep you informed because I get so sick of watching the lies of the American news media. They are absolutely rotten to the core. And part of my job, you know, in the Bible, Daryl, they had watchmen on the wall that would say, hey, the enemy's coming. You better wake up. And that's all we're doing here. We're telling you, why would you allow your borders to be overran? Again, remember, the Roman Empire was never conquered. Its borders were overran. Sound familiar? Hey, tell me they're not reading history. So understanding these things, I believe this is why when Jesus said, when you see this globally, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And here another, I just watched the story. Over 200 cities in America are demanding a ceasefire from Israel. This is, of course, Democratic news. Not one not one, said a demand for Hamas to surrender. They're who started the war. Why don't you see one news media, one Democrat declaring and demanding surrender from Hamas? Not one. And they're the ones that started the war, everybody. So that tells me how rotten it is. Jesus said, how great is that darkness? You know, if you're not born again, I want to tell you something right now. Today's your appointed day of salvation, because Amen. I don't know how much longer you're going to sit there and play on the fence. Again, take the Bible out of the picture. How long do you think this is all going to go on? When you got underdeveloped nations, 30th poorest in the world, developing nuclear weapons and threatening daily to use them. Friends, we got to wake up. You Christians, hey, listen, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, invite your unsaved friends to church. Invite your nominal Christian friends that are, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but they're not part of fellowship. They're not reading their Bible. Yeah, invite them to church this Sunday, next Sunday especially, so they would hear a message that God loves them. Friends, it might be the last Easter we'll ever know on this earth. So I just want to encourage all of us to be about our Father's business. You know, Daryl, sometimes when I get off the radio, I beat myself up for things I say, like what I just did.
No, you do. You're on target, my friend.
And then
don't
I,
even do that.
And then I read the American news media on some of these different sources. Salon. I can't believe there's a news media named that. They ought to just do people's hair. Stay out of the news business. But you look at some of these, and they're just it's so dishonest, and they don't care. Because they have an agenda, and that agenda is what, by ever means, lying to people, cheating people, stealing people, let America become completely overrun by criminals. It doesn't matter. They want to destroy America and out of the ashes, the new communist America, the one world order as well, will arise. Friends, wake up and smell the coffee. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, and they're global now, your redemption draws nigh. So important. Let's
keep
go to Sean.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. No, I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you talk. I'm sorry about everybody. It's on the line,
but the phones. But I'll just say I'm with you 100% there. And as we look at our world, we know we're living the last days, but we just don't roll over and do nothing. We've got to be active believers. We've got to vote righteously. We've got to get involved in every aspect of life and stand up for what is right. We are to be salt and light throughout this world. And boy, I tell you what, the lies that we're seeing continuously perpetuated against Trump or against Republicans or against conservatives or against those who believe in the Constitution, it's horrendous. And we're on the precipice of World War III. We really are, with Russia and Ukraine happening, as well as China is threatening that they're going to invade Taiwan. If they invade Taiwan, I've just gotten word that we're going to be on call, if you will, as these islands could get attacked. In Hawaii, as well as Guam, as well as Japan, by China. So these things are happening at rapid pace, and we have such a weak president, a weak administration, a weak Congress that's going on because so much of it is controlled by these Democrats. They don't stand up for us. They don't stand up for the nation. They don't stand up for our borders.
They're for America falling. That's what they want.
They don't stand up for our economy. They just want to destroy everything that we've ever believed in. They come against the Judeo-Christian beliefs. They've created a culture of death. And you know what? We're not going to roll over and die. We're going to stand up to them, and we're going to stand strong. And I would encourage you folks, invite your Democratic friends to church this Easter. Invite your liberal friends, your progressive friends. Invite them. You know people out there. Invite them to church. Because you know what? You never know when there's a Saul of Tarsus is going to turn into Paul the Apostle. Amen. And watch God use their lives tremendously. But they've got to hear the word of God. We can say, well, I don't agree with them. I won't invite them. No, invite them so they can hear. And they may talk stink about you for the next year. Who knows? But it really doesn't matter, because you're pleasing the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Invite the Rhino Republicans out to church. You know, whoever it is, invite everybody. Let's just go for God. Let God's word have its effect on their hearts, their lives. And everyone's going to be without excuse. We can wash our hands of the blood of all people because we have preached the gospel to all of our friends, our family members, co-workers, whoever it might be. Invite them all. All they can just do is say no, but many of them may follow and come and get saved. So let's go for God. Mike?
Amen. And again, the reason I bring these things up is to let everybody know we are not living in a time like any other time. This is, we're at the end of the line. You know, you wondered what it was going to look like. Do you realize since Biden took office, you know, they talk about, well, you know, inflation's just inching up now by 2% or whatever. They're so dishonest. They don't tell you what the inflation rate since Biden took office in January 3 years ago. Do you know what the inflation rate is really? You can check this out. 19%. In other words, your money in the bank has devalued now 20%, almost 20% in 3 years. So if you put $1,000 in the bank, now you have an equivalent of $800 in the bank. Well, many people, that's their retirement. That's their savings. And it's all being inflated away by a printing press that won't stop. Today, they propose another $1.1 trillion more in debt to pay for stuff that we can't pay for. Friends, we are at the end. And so you need to be looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Okay, sorry. Back to the phones. I digress. Let's go to Trenton, Missouri. Hi, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. My question is revolving around 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. Paul makes the point that he was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. And Jesus even makes the comment that first he was a teacher and then he was a preacher. And so is there a distinct difference between preacher and teacher? Would a woman be allowed to be a preacher as long as she's not teaching the gospel in front of people?
Darryl, your thoughts.
Well, preaching is heralding the gospel for salvation. Teaching is expository teaching is through the Bible. We should all be preachers. We should all be heralding the gospel, sharing with people to get saved. I mean, whether it be your next door neighbor over a cup of coffee, or it's going to be in a pulpit. But the church is to be run by men. But we all need to be preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And then teaching is going to be held by, well, women could teach women, but pastors are to lead the church in the expository teaching of the Word of God. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, I think anybody can herald the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we talk about women as in our earlier phone call, that's concerning being the senior pastor of a church. Hope that helps.
My understanding of the word preacher was, like you guys said, to proclaim the gospel. And so whenever you hear people say that women can't be preachers, it's like, well, what's the technicality behind it? Because, you know, they're to preach the gospel.
Exactly. It's the senior pastor of a church that sets the direction for the church. That's what my best rendering of what Paul is saying there. Darryl, any last thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, to be a pastor of the church is to be a man, and but we can all preach the gospel and so forth. I think the confusion is some people use the term preacher as the pastor. We're all preaching the gospel of salvation, but a pastor is to lead the church through sound biblical doctrine and from reading and studying from Genesis and teaching from Genesis to Revelation. That's what the pastor is to do when it comes to being the pastor of the church.
So right. I hope that helps.
Yep. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Stay in line, and we'll get some books and DVDs out to you. Keith, Payson, Arizona, we got 1 minute. Sorry. How can we help?
1 Timothy 2:12 says the women are supposed to be silenced. Does that mean teaching in a church?
No, that is talking about disruption in the church. Very quickly, Darryl.
Yeah, it is talking about disruption. And once again, ladies do a phenomenal job within the church, children's ministry, teaching other women, teaching the younger women and so forth, as it says there in Timothy. But when it comes to being the senior pastor of a church, it's to be a man. And that's very explicit throughout the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. But we women have a lot to share, a lot to tell and counsel and so forth for other women and so forth. They do a wonderful job, and God bless each and every one.
Yeah, there was a disruption in the church. Maybe they were in the back of the church talking about the latest sale at the bazaar downtown, or maybe they were yelling across the aisle, because even today, the men sit on one side of the synagogue, the women sit on the other, and there could have been them yelling across the aisle, "Hey, George, did you hear that? They're talking about you." Don't know, but whatever it was, he said, "Don't you know your women should be quiet in church?" That's what that's about. As far as everything else, we remember Priscilla and Aquila, co-labored with Aquila, so good things. For everybody that's not on, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. God bless you. Thanks, Daryl, for being on. Happy 30th.
Thank you. God bless.
Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.